are you? I recognize you. I've not forgotten you. But I wonder, have you ever searched for the answer to who it is you truly are? Have you ever tried to understand yourself better? Or have you allowed yourself to be defined by what others have said about you? Have you searched for a name that captures what you feel inside or describes your greatest passion? Or have you been content to allow circumstances to name you? In today's sermon scripture, Jesus asks his followers, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Well, we can imagine Jesus listening to this. He nods his head. And then he asks the 12, well, what about you? Who do you say I am? And I imagine Peter, and then called Simon, jumping up. He's like an excited child. I know, I know. Simon doesn't wait for anyone else to answer Jesus. He knows this one. He doesn't know everyone. He doesn't always have an answer to every question. But he knows the answer to this one. And I imagine Jesus smiling as he sees Simon's enthusiasm, as he notes his passion and the knowledge of Peter's good heart. Simon answered Jesus. When he did, I imagine that Simon was smiling too. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Simon enthusiastically stated. And he was right. And Jesus rewards Simon with a new name and gives him a new job. But Jesus doesn't give these things to Simon because he got a question right. He gave Simon the new name of Peter and his role as a rock on which our church would be built because of Simon's character. Jesus saw Simon. He knew who he was. And there's an ancient quote that states, the beginning of wisdom is to call things by their proper name. What's your name? Who does it make you? What is the name? What is the role that God has given you? And Jesus called himself the Son of Man. He refers to himself that way 82 times in the New Testament. In fact, Son of Man is a primary title Jesus used when referring to himself. It's a name that reflects Jesus' humility and his divinity. As it is written in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus is the Son of Man because he dwelled with us in flesh and because he is the supreme example of all that God intended for mankind to be. Our names, those given to us, and those we give to ourselves speak to who we are. We all carry more than one name. Our characteristics are greeted and our designations are pronounced through an understanding of our places, our choices, and our hopes. The names we come to be known by are a type of shorthand for what we see in ourselves and what others see in us. But who we truly are is what God has made us and what Christ has called us. Christ has called us his. Jesus called his apostles and then called them by different names. As we were just reminded, Jesus called Simon Peter or Cephas, which means the rock. Jesus called James and John Boanerges or sons of thunder. Jesus called Levi Matthew. Bartholomew was called Nathanael. Thaddeus was also known as Judas, son of James, or Lebeus. The Simon that was not Peter was referred to as the Zealot. James, son of Alphaeus, was called James the Less, or James the Younger. On the Chosen, the two apostles named James were referred to as Big James and Little James. and that is an honest interpretation. The Apostle Thomas was also called Didymus, which means twin. Andrew, Philip, and Judas Iscariot were generally referred to by their standard names, although Iscariot likely means man of Kiroth. Our life in Jesus renews us and renames us. It forgives us and anoints us. It takes us from a place of darkness to a life of light. It takes from us endings to eternity. In Scripture, we see how God makes us, and God makes for us a name that reflects our purpose. We learn how Abram, which means exalted father, becomes Abraham, father of many nations. We see how Sarai, which means my princess, changes to Sarah, which means princess. No, Sarah's designation shows how her importance is no longer restricted to the value Abraham finds in her. She is no longer seen as royalty to Abraham, but as royalty to many nations. In the Bible, we see Jacob become Israel. Jacob means one who comes after. Israel means he who prevails with God. And names are built, gifted, and given. There's something we're born with, something we choose to be, or something that is chosen for us. Many years ago, I began to try to piece together the story of my family. In the days before the internet, and with history and people lost, and this was no easy task. Still, I had been told and had presumed the names of certain family members. I thought I had a clear place to start my research. Until I started my research, I found that over the years, some family names had been changed. My maternal grandmother, for example, introduced herself as Nanny. She had the married name of Mrs. Rose Corrier. I found her listed in records as Rose Gonsalves. And then I found her listed in records as Rose Helen Rose. And then I found her listed in records as Rosa Helena de Rosa. I asked my grandmother about this, and she admitted to changing her name. I asked her why. And here you should know that my grandmother had an accent of Boston and my hometown of Fall River, and it sounded a little like New York. "Nanny, why did you change your name?" I asked. "Cause," she said, "there was too many roses." Was Shakespeare right when he wrote that a rose by any other name would smell sweet? I don't know. But I do know that the names that we use reflect who we are, who we were, and who we hope to be. My grandmother preferred to be called Nanny. She would ask all of you to call her Nanny. And Nanny was her grandmother name, but it was also more than that. It was her accomplishment. It was her status, and it was a sign of the love given to her and the love that she always gave. A name is a label of your identity. My grandmother had chosen the love she had for her family and the love her family had for her as the most important part of who she was. Who are you? Who are we? Now, the Bible tells us that we are made in God's image. In Genesis 1:27, it reads, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." God made all people in God's own image. This tells us that every human life, our lives, have inherent worth. And within the boundaries of our own humanity, we have the potential to reflect the character of God. We can love. We can act justly. We can offer forgiveness and mercy. We can live developing our morality to do what is good and right. We know that we are, as it says in Psalm 139, fearfully and wonderfully made. All God's works are good and wonderful. None of us are a mistake. 1 John 3:1 tells us, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." We are, all of us, the children of God. When we unite with Christ, as it says in Corinthians 5:17, we become a new creation. The old has passed away. We are rehabbed, renewed through the love and the grace of God. We are forgiven and free. Romans 8:1 through 2 asserts that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. The Spirit sets us free from the law of sin and death. We are unburdened from our past mistakes. We are chosen and valued. 1 Peter 2:9 states that Christians are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and the treasure of God. So who are you? You are a beloved child of God. You are purposefully and wonderfully made. You are loved and accepted. You have been renewed by Christ and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. You are good and have been placed in this world to do good. You're kind of a big deal. What you are not is condemned. What penalty any of us may have acquired has been paid off in full. What you are not is apart from God. God will never leave you. God is your Father and Christ is your brother. And the Holy Spirit is in you and with you. That Spirit will bring you and help you to live your life for good purpose. What you are not is what the world may have told you. If the world has told you that you are less than good. What you are not is without care, without love, and without hope. You are named by your parents. You are named by your friends. You are named by your occupation and your relationships. You are known by your character, by your actions and your speech. But who you truly are is displayed by your heart and through your choices. Who you truly are is found in the plans God has for you. And those actions you take which reflect how you live your life in Christ. Words have meaning, but names have power. And the power of God names you loved. When you're picking a name for yourself, when you use a name to describe yourself, don't forget the love that God has for you. Remember, you are a child of God. Thanks be to our good and holy Father God. Amen.